Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions.
This is Kevin calling from La Crescenta, California, kind of planning ahead for the future, thinking of establishing primary residence in a state with no state income tax.
And provides unbiased answers.
Good question, though. A good thought process, and always good to look forward. And I think there's only, what, 7 or 9 states that have no income tax?
Invest Talk. Over 42 million downloads and counting. Across America and around the world, your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
At a time when investors are confronted with market volatility and a variety of challenges fueled by the uncertainty of inflation, unsettled geopolitical tensions, and economic pressures, Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Tuesday, June 21st, 2022. I'm Steve Peasley, and I look forward to doing this podcast. And I enjoy hearing your financial and investment questions, so I'm really wanting to take them. And you'll probably hear my voice is a little bit scratchy. Well, I've been ill for several days over the week, and I'm still just trying to hang on. So it's the result is a scratchy little rough voice. So I apologize for that. Now you may have noticed that here on Invest Talk we talk about trying to grow your portfolio. That's what we do. So we go forward every day, reminding you I have no hidden agendas. I'm not trying to push anything on you. In fact, you drive the show where it goes. It's your questions to tell us what we're going to talk about, not me. I mean, I have issues. I have things that I want to discuss, but you come first. Your calls come first. So it's my goal to help you understand the environment that we're in. And it changes, and it has changed dramatically from quantitative easing period of years to now quantitative tightening. And that will dramatically affect the market. And we've seen how it's affecting the market. And it's going to continue to do so. Okay? So the investment environment you're in today is vastly different. Vastly different. And you have to understand, we have high inflation. We never hadn't had that in decades. Decades. Now we have to deal with it. The valuations you put on stocks, how companies grow, you know, their profit margins, all that changes with high inflation. So you have to understand the changes and try to invest in it. If you're going to invest the way you've been doing it 10 years ago, or when the only thing that worked was growth stocks and they were far outperforming everything else, that's not going to be the same. It's not going to, if you're still using that method, you're not going to do very well. So try to adjust to the times. It doesn't mean you don't buy growth stocks. It means you reevaluate them. You don't just pay 100, 200 PE and think, oh, that's great. You know, you don't do that anymore. So I invite you to give me your call. We want to hear from you. Our anytime toll-free line is the same as always, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So let's get right to our first question.
Hi, AT&T spin-off WBD, Warner Brothers Discovery. Is that an advantage to shareholder holding AT&T, or is it a disadvantage, or can you elaborate a little bit on that? This is Leo Los Gatos. Thank you very much.
Okay, yeah, we talked about this before, not recently, but I think it was a benefit for AT&T holders because they weren't, you know, the entertainment industry, even though it sounds like it was a great fit at the time, I don't think they were running it very well or very efficiently. and interfered with the profits and dividend-paying ability of AT&T, and that's why people owned AT&T. So I'm pleased, actually, with them refocusing on what they do, and that is data, local, long-distance networks. Okay? So, yeah, I kind of like it. AT&T pays 5.6% dividend right now, and there's no danger of it not being able to pay that. It's a $19.96 stock, and so it's come down from $30 this year down to $19 to $20. So I kind of like it at that point. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what did the market do today? Well, it was a big up day, a relief rally. Don't get too excited. Okay, the Dow's up 641 points. The NASDAQ was up 271 points, and the S&P was up 90 points. And it was up from the beginning of the day and just stayed there for all three indexes. So I thought that was a pretty good day. So 888-992-4278 is our number. You can call anytime you want. Look forward to talking to you. So I'm going to talk about today, unless you your calls drive, I'm going to talk about Goldman Sachs. Strategists had up their recession fear. I tell you what, these experts are supposed to be smarter than this. Also, what tech stocks? Should you be looking at tech stocks? And how will the street price in the recession? Or has the street, Wall Street, priced in the recession? Has it already been priced in with what we, how big of a downturn we've had? And that's an interesting question. I'm still having my doubts that is built in yet. Let's take a quick break. 888-99-CHART is my number, 888-992-4278. Look forward to hearing from you. This is Steve Peasley. Let's talk. Give me a call.
Why do listener questions make InvestTalk better?
Which of these would you recommend?
Because each caller presents fresh questions in their voice.
I was curious if you still think aluminum has a ways to go from here.
When do I know the right time to take profits?
Should I be looking for an exit? Should I be holding here?
And listeners instinctively realize that InvestTalk uniquely offers a welcome dose of investing satisfaction.
I think you have a terrific show, and I've learned a whole lot.
Hey, guys, love your show. I've been listening for several years now, and I've learned a lot.
Justin Klein and Steve Peasley understand what investors need and want.
I would look at it from a tax perspective. If there's no tax implications, move on, find better ways to use that money.
I'm going with the odds. I think a half position now would at least get you in it and get you watching it so you won't lose track of it.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, each time I host the InvestTalk podcast, I have the satisfaction of taking caller questions and then breaking down the often complex dynamics involved. I make them into easier-to-understand elements. Each question is tackled live without pre-screening, and some topics are more challenging than others. And that's a good thing, because it allows every InvestTalk caller to shape the content of the podcast. If you've never called, don't hold back. You can leave your InvestTalk questions on the 24/7 Anytime Listener line at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. That's my number, 888-992-4278. My focus point today is based on a story. U.S. experienced at least 30 recessions throughout history, dating back to early 1857. So are recessions inevitable? So that's what we're going to talk about. 888-99-CHART is our number. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Hey, folks. This is Matthew calling from Kentucky. I love your show. Appreciate all the advice. Ticker symbol that I'm looking at is Boeing BA. It's something that I've been invested in for quite some time, and it's recently taken a pretty large tumble. Just wanted to hear your advice on that as far as averaging down and holding my position.
BA is Boeing, everybody. Everybody knows who Boeing is. There's been a really resurgence in airplane travel, as we all know. If you've looked at booking anything, you know the costs are skyrocketing. Super high cost to take a plane anywhere. So that will eventually help Boeing. I think eventually they're supposed to make $5.65 next year, and they're going to lose 73 cents a share this year. Okay, so it's a $136 stock. For me, that's way overpriced. I would never buy a Boeing, especially in a recessionary spat that we're having going forward. There's no reason to own Boeing at this point, so I wouldn't do it. I have a prejudice against airlines. Okay, I have a prejudice against that because of the cost of buying the planes and the fueling costs and the unions involved. And that kind of laps over into why I don't like Boeing. It's not that I dislike it. I just don't think it's ever gotten cheap enough for it to be attractive. You know, it's not something I would want to own. My focus point today is based on the story, the U.S. has experienced at least 30 recessions. So we've had 30 recessions since 1857. So are recessions inevitable? I frankly think in a free economic system that we have, that they are. Now, the Federal Reserve tries to avoid the recessions or mitigate them or whatever. And they have said that even though they're raising rates really strongly, that they think they could avoid a recession. That is so rare. Of the 30 recessions, there's only been one. Now, of course, the Federal Reserve doesn't go all the way back to 1857, but there's only been one recession where they can claim, or weakness in the stock market and the economy, where they can claim that the Fed may proactively prevent inflation. And that was in 1994. But I think they were already way too late raising rates again in this current session. I mean, they kept saying a year ago that inflation was a passing thing, right? They were saying it's going to be a short term. It's not going to be here for, and then they waited till what? Came in 6%, 7%, 8%. Oh, maybe we should do something about that. And then they raised rates last time before this last one, 50 basis points. And then they go, oh, maybe that's not enough because inflation is still rising. So they did 75. See how they're behind? It's like they're trying to catch up. They should be getting ahead of it. And this article is pointing out that maybe once they got ahead of it in 1994. And that's it. Okay, iTunes review question. A listener called, had a question. Looking to add robotics automation exposure, and I like GGNX. What are your thoughts? So CG, Cognex Corporation, it's a $7.4 billion company out of Massachusetts, manufacture modular vision systems that emulate defects, varying assemblies, and automate production. Eliminates defects. They make money. They made money forever. They're going to make $1.68 a share this year, up from $1.50. Next year, $1.97. Pretty good sales growth. Pretty strong sales growth. It's a $42 stock. So it's kind of expensive, and it's a growth stock. And I'd stay away from it. I don't be in a rush to get into these growth stocks. Don't. Wait till they get cheap. This is not cheap. This is not cheap. If it gets down to maybe the low 30s might be attractive. But frankly, I think it should, it's worth it. I wouldn't buy until it got to 20. Just wouldn't be something I'm interested in. I don't think anybody should be interested in right now. Good, solid company, but we're moving into a break. My phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
Have you heard about Riskalyze? It's a brief question and answer form that you fill out online. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein will also get a copy of your responses. They can use the Riskalyze results to help you formulate a strategy that fits your investing risk tolerance. Learn more anytime and take the Riskalyze quiz at investtalk.com.
Hey, all big fans of the show. I just have a quick question. I'm an 18-year-old investor looking to get into the market. I have about $500 to spend and was looking where to start. Thought I'd come to you guys. Thanks again for the show.
Okay, first of all, you're going to open an account in a discount brokerage firm where they charge no trading fees, none. And that could be, you know, there's a number of E-Trade, TD Ameritrade, Schwab. There's a bunch of them, okay? Okay, so now you put the money in to your now investment account. And then, because you're just starting, you're going to use indexes, okay? And I would suggest ETF, exchange-traded fund indexes, for an S&P 500 or the NASDAQ. And put a couple hundred dollars in one of those. And then wait a couple more weeks or a month. Put in another couple hundred. And just keep adding in as the market gets ugly. It's ugly now. So this is a good time to start investing, believe it or not. It's a good time. So you can dump it all in at one time today, but just got to make sure you stay with it and don't get frightened as it goes down. No one knows where the bottom is. It could be now. It couldn't. I don't think so. I think you got more to go on the downside, but you need to start somewhere and get involved. It will work. It will. Okay, Goldman Sachs. Strategists upped their recession fear or call or whatever you want to call it. What gets me is why are they upping it? It should have been up already. Come on. We know that. What's the Fed doing? They're raising rates. The inflation is out of control. Of course, the odds are really, really strong we're going to have a recession. The odds are really, really strong the Fed's not going to get it right, because just look at what I told you earlier on that they don't have a history of getting it right. So what concerns me is these people are supposed to be the smartest people around Goldman Sachs. And they're just now, their strategists now saying that we up in our fear of a possible recession. Where you been? This is why I say, guys, do your own stuff. Don't listen to these experts. I mean, the thing that really got me to a point where, you know, experts are always wrong was before the dot-com implosion. When experts are coming out saying, buy all these dot-coms, they had no, these are experts. These are the market pundits, the strategists, the smart people on the street. Buy.com, they're just going to go up forever. Right, as a new paradigm, you can't evaluate things based on earnings and sales anymore. They were all over talking about that, and look what happened. That's when I decided that experts are wrong. Don't listen to them. Now, before then, I mind you, I still read those reports, but man, do I take all of it with a big grain of salt, and so should you. Don't believe them. So this is Goldman Sachs saying they're upping their inflation fear. Well, and then they go on and explain why. Well, it's just stupid. Yeah, we know it's inflation. That's one of the reasons. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's one of the reasons that they're – oh, and then the inflation's rising and the Fed's raising rates fast. Yeah, we didn't know that too. I mean, things that, you know – anybody who's been doing this for 5 minutes would have known that. So why are they telling us this is why they raised their... You see what I'm saying? It's like you're wasting my time reading this article. Yeah, so just kind of ticks me off a little bit. Just a little. This is Invest Talk. Justin and I have said many times that we appreciate our diverse audience when we do. And in fact, we receive caller questions from around the world and across America. So let's take a question now, this time from a listener in Denmark.
Hello, InvestTalk. Yannick from Denmark here. Thanks for a great show and listen every day. I have a question about hard assets. You mentioned recently that we're in a period where hard assets perform very well, things like industrials and so on. So I wondered about banks. But money isn't really a hard asset. And still, you mentioned that but the financial sector historically does well in inflationary periods such as this. So would you say that banks are a good sector at this time? And secondly, I had a question about U.S. Bank Corp, ticker symbol USB, versus Bank of New York Mellon. I was considering buying either one of them. Like to hear your opinion. Many thanks. Bye.
Yeah, banks usually do pretty decent in inflationary periods. They generally do because the rates go up and they're able to, you know, still capture their profits. The problem with that is offsetting the possibility of recession, where banks don't do very well. So you want to buy the banks, and it's okay to buy the banks, but you just want to make sure you buy them cheap. And taking that U.S. Bancorp, who is a $68 billion company paying a 4% dividend, the stock is $46, and they're going to make $5.21 next year. So that's a pretty low valuation. But their lowest has been a 7 P, and that means the stock could go to 35. So I think you can be patient. I think that it will go cheaper before you have to pick, before you want to pick it up. I just think it will. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I have a trivia question before the break. Every now and then, it can be constructed to look at one of the legendary publicly traded companies. I'm thinking of a company started in 1892. That's 130 years ago, by the way. General Electric. And one of its founders was inventor Thomas Edison. So as we go to break, here's my trivia question. GE was one of the original 12 companies listed on the newly formed Dow Jones Industrial Average. One of 12. There's 30 now. Can you name several of the other initial companies? At the break, I'll give you the answer. But give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
The CFOs that get it, get it. The CFOs that don't, don't. Let's talk about the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer. Today's CFO is critical to the strategy and success of the business. And in growing companies, there are two kinds of CFOs. One who's struggling to keep up, spreadsheets everywhere, manual processes, errors, and lack of visibility into the numbers. It takes weeks to close the books. The other kind is on top of their game. Automated reports, inventory, e-commerce, and HR flow into the financial model seamlessly. Insights coming with the click of a button. This brings me to the point of this message. CFOs who get it understand why they need and want NetSuite. I'll tell you why. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. Like I told you, the CFOs that get it, get it. The CFOs that don't, don't. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 29,000 businesses already use NetSuite. Head to netsuite.com/investtalk for a special one-of-a-kind financing offer. That's netsuite.com/investtalk. netsuite.com/investtalk.
This is InvestTalk. Please tell your friends and family members that they can download our weekday podcast for free anytime at investtalk.com or iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And when you download and listen, please be sure to rate our podcasts. Our anytime listener line is open, and Steve and Justin are taking your calls now. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. So I had a trivia question for you, and talk about GE and the Dow Jones Industrial 30. Well, they didn't start at 30 stocks. They started way back in, I don't remember when. Let's see, did I have the date here? It was 1896. They only started with 12 companies. So what were some of the other companies? General Electric, you know, of course, is still around and big and had hard times in the last 10, 20 years. But General Electric is still around, but was removed from the Dow Jones Industrials in 2018. Did you know that? Replaced by Walgreens, Boots, and Alliance. Anyways, some of the other companies way back then. American Cotton Oil Company, now Hellman's, and then Best Foods, and now is part of Unilever. American Sugar Refining Company was Domino Sugar in 1900, now Domino Foods. The United States Rubber Company changed its name to Uniroyal in 61, merged with Goodrich Corporation in 86, and of course, that's the tire business, and now it was bought out by Michelin. So, kind of interesting. You know, Edison was in school for only 3 months, and they kicked him out because of hyperactivity. And he's only had, 1,000 patents in his lifetime? Mm-hmm. So, it's kind of an interesting story. He died at age 84 in 1931. 1931, died at age 84. Smart guy. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. That's my number. Do you have, it's Jorge? I don't see anything being. We're going to talk to Edgar from San Diego. How you doing, Edgar?
Hey, I'm fine, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm good.
All right, great. Steve, I was looking at this company, Green Realty, and I was wondering what you think, and is this dividend at about, I think it says 6.2 or whatever. Do you think they can make it? And what's a good entry point?
Okay, SLG is the symbol. SL Green Realty Corp. Is that what you were talking about?
Yes.
Okay, it's a REIT, a real estate investment trust. And to remind everybody, a REIT is a company that's in the real estate business some way, and they have to pay 90% of their earnings out in the form of a dividend to qualify for a REIT. And if they qualify as a REIT, they don't have to pay any income tax from a corporate level. Okay, that's why it's advantageous to be a REIT. And it's advantageous for you to want to own a REIT because they have high dividends. Okay, this is a $48 stock. They're going to make $4.49 this year after making $6.76 last year. So they're going to lose 34% of their earnings per share. Then next year, they're going to up 10% to $4.94. So that makes it about a 10 PE going forward. Okay. And they own and manage and lease office properties in the New York metro area. Okay. So I would submit to you that this is not a good time to own REITs because interest rates are rising. And, of course, REITs are mortgaged are properties, and when they have to refinance or buy new properties, they have to pay more and more expenses because they have the loans are costing them more. So I'm not keen on REITs at this point.
Okay.
That doesn't mean you don't buy any or ever, but I would stay away from the New York metro area office building properties. I think it's going to be difficult. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Okay, that's Edgar. Thank you. Okay, let's fit in another iTunes review question. I want to talk about ExxonMobil. And we all know who ExxonMobil is. It's not largest oil company in the world. About ExxonMobil, at the start of the pandemic at $43, and it's now trading at $102. Well, it dropped down to $91 the last couple of weeks. Thoughts on what I should do with this stock? Is it time to take profits? Personally, I don't think so. If the only reason I would take profits is if it got too heavy of an exposure in my portfolio. Now, he did more than double his money, and I have a little rule of thumb in my head that when you double your stock, it's time to take some off the table. So that kind of rule applies. But I still think, I still like the sector. But it wouldn't hurt to take some off the off the table because you did double. But don't get out. I think oil is still going to be high. I've had arguments with various people thinking it's going to go much, a barrel of oil is going to go much higher than what it's been. And I said that I thought it would top about of 120, and it got up to 124, so I was a little off. Now it's back to 110 or so, 111. Many experts are calling for $150 per barrel, and I've seen it as high as 200. I don't believe it's going to go that high. Could it? Yes, it could. You know, I'm just trying to be reasonable high price. It's already very high price, right? We know that. But the demand for oil is still pretty high, but we're moving toward a recession, not just here in the United States, throughout the world, and that does not mean a lot of pressure on oil prices. Problem is, right now there is. You know, we took here in the United States, we took a position of, you know, anti-oil. I mean, everything oil was evil, right? And of course, the oil companies cut their capital expenditures a couple of years ago, because they're thinking all they have is headwinds, and you still have oil as evil, politicians. So they cut back their capital expenditures, meaning they weren't drilling as much as they were. They don't want to be the evil persons. I mean, they want to make profits. I'm not saying that at all. Yeah, they want to make profits, but. But when you have all the politicians, after you, and everything's clean energy, I like clean energy too. Don't think I don't. I do. But when you're anti-oil because you want clean energy and you make it difficult, that their prices go up, especially as demand increases as we're coming out of COVID. It would seem kind of logical that it would. And so then you add into the Russian thing, and there you go. We got shortages. So I like big oil because I think that they're going to make profits for some time. Worldwide demand for oil is going to only go up for the next 10, 20 years. Not down. No matter how green we get, it's still going to go up because there's a lot of third world countries that would be needing it, that would like to get off their feet and get on their motorcycles or mopeds and use some gasoline. Not going to be all electric, it's going to become more and more electric. I grant you that, and I think it's a great thing. But, it's a transition, and it's not being managed very well. Okay? That's what I think. So 888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. Get love to talk to you. Give me a call. Let's go back to the InvestTalk voice bank for a question that came in earlier. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. My name's Chris from Atlanta, Georgia. I was calling about Big Lots. I know it's a popular name on your show or here lately. But I'm looking to buy in it as it keeps going down and down. It has a nice dividend. I believe it should recover some and be able to recoup with that. I was looking at institutional ownership, and it's showing over 100% institutional ownership. How can that be? Maybe it's just the data I have. Or if that is something, is that a good thing? Is that something I'm looking for in a company? Or should I just ignore that altogether? Look forward to hearing your answer. Thank you, guys.
Never good in a company to have too much institutional ownership. I'm showing 69% in my software. But how can you have over 100%? You can using short interest. It's kind of unusual, but it's possible. You always want some institutional interest in the company because they're the ones that drive prices up or down. And if you have too much institutional interest, like 100%, then there's no room for more institutional interest to come in and drive up the price. Now, this is Big Lots. BIG is the symbol. They're going to come way down in their earnings. They're going to earn $5.33 this year, but they're positioned, they're estimating to lose $2.48 a share next year and then rebound the year after, making $2 a share, and it's a $21 stock. So it might look inexpensive because if you're looking at this year's earnings of $5.33 and it's a $21 stock, you say, man, that's a 4 PE. No, don't look at it that way. Please don't look at it that way. They pay a 5.7% dividend. I'm sure they're going to maintain some kind of dividend. I don't know how much it would be. I'd have to look at their history of payments and see if they've ever cut their dividend or what. Good return on equity, very good cash flow. Sales fell 15% in the most recent quarter. So I'd stay away. Remember, I've been telling you that I think summer's going to be difficult, so there's no big rush to get your money to work. There really isn't. Okay. Okay. You know, every once in a while, we like to talk about, you know, KPP Financial. It's summertime. We are officially in summer as of today. So what are you going to do over the summer with your money? Should you make some changes of your investments? Well, KPP is willing, wanting, and able to help if you want our help. We would love to give you the benefit of our knowledge, and we'll help you any way we can. The market's going to be volatile over this summer. It's still going to be volatile. It's going to be tough, okay? And we've mentioned that before. But I do think it's worth the time to take a minute or two to tell you about Justin Klein and myself and KPP Financial and what we can do for you. We'll be happy to take a look at your portfolio. Take a look and see how much risk you're taking, how much risk you're comfortable with. We're in Southern California. We promise that we'll give you unbiased guidance. We also practice parallel investing, where we buy and sell the same things for ourselves we do for our clients. Same price, same time. If you want us to take a look or talk to you about your finances, be happy to do it. You don't have to become a client. You just call our offices in Irvine, California, or send me an email. Go to investtalk.com. Just send me a message, me or Justin. Be happy to discuss it. And we really are different. We're different than other people. We are. Because not too many people, not too many money managers or investment advisors out there buy the exact same thing for themselves as they do for their clients. They just don't do it. Okay? Let's go to Tom in Kentucky. Hi, Tom.
Hey, I was wanting to see about Schneider Electric, the symbols S as in Sam, B as in Boy, G as in George, S as in Sam, and Y as in Yankee. And one of the things I have a hard time seeing is if some of these companies have a lot of debt. I know it's at a 24-week low.
Okay, let's look at that company. So it's SBGSY. That's not coming up on my. That's not coming up on my software. Pardon me?
Yeah, it's a Schneider Electric.
Oh, it's like over the counter. So it's on the pink sheets. That means it's a very small company, very high risk, and we don't follow those pink sheeted companies. We don't have the data for all of them. There's so many of them. We have enough trouble keeping the data straight with the companies that are traded on the exchanges. It would be very difficult for you, because they don't do full reporting, to find out how much debt they actually really have. Those items on the pink sheet can be manipulated pretty easily. So I would suggest that you just stay away from the pink sheeted items. It's just too difficult. Now, there's some big companies, huge companies, that do trade on the pink sheets, and they are, you know, they do have a lot more open and visible, but most of those smaller companies are not, so I would stay away from them. Appreciate the call. Thanks, Tom. Okay, iTunes question wants to talk about Disney. Okay, now, Disney, Walt Disney Company, you know, they're huge, $169 billion size. They're going to make $3.99 this year, then $5.58 next year. They have a $93 stock. Sales are in the 20-plus percent range every quarter, growth. Return on equity is only 6%, which is not very good, by the way. But they're going to make $5.55, and it's a $93 stock. So that's probably a fair price. Remember, this stock was $180 to $200 not that long ago. Now it's at $93, and I'm telling you, that's probably a fair price. Might come down further, but that's pretty fair. So if you want to be a Disney owner, it looks like this is the opportunity that you're going to get to own it. Now, I would wait till the summer passes myself. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we have one goal here: to help you achieve financial freedom. And our work continues after this break. So get your questions in now. 888-99-CHART.
You are listening to Invest Talk. Every Friday on the program and the podcast, Steve Peasley shares highlights from the newest edition of the KPP Premium Newsletter. Listen Fridays to Invest Talk. And now, Steve and Justin welcome your calls and questions. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve or Justin. Chris from Florida here. I was just wondering about Laredo Petroleum, LPI. Seems like a little bit overbought, but I was just wondering on a pullback, maybe something that might be interesting. It has high debt, which is not good, obviously, in this environment, but they just started a $200 million buyback program for some shares, and thinking if they like pay down some debt, that like this is the kind of company that I should be looking at. Thanks for the help. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Yeah, Laredo Petroleum Company, I kind of like it. It's out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Engaged in the exploration and development of oil and natural gas in the Permian Basin in West Texas. It's a $1.5 billion company, so they're buying $200 million worth of their stock. It's about, what, taking out about 13% out of the float, 13% of their shares out of the float. It's an $87 stock. They're going to make $28.75 a share this year. Next year, they're scheduled to make $43 a share. Okay, and you look at any way you look at that, boy, that seems pretty darn reasonable. Well, the stock has traded at between 1 and 27 PE. Return on equity is very high, 52. Cash flow is very strong, $21. The negative is they have lots of debt, lots and lots of debt. Sales growth is over 100% a quarter for the last four quarters. The stock has fallen, and it looks like it's made a pullback the last couple of weeks from 120 down to 87. So, and it looks like around 87, 88 is strong support. So this might be the place that you want to be a buyer of, okay? Now, I also have strong support in the 50s. So, you know, you never know exactly where it's going to stop. But I kind of like it. But again, you know, you want to be very, very careful. Maybe step in slowly and see what happens with the stock. Might be a smart thing to do. Okay. Is it time to buy tech stocks? You know, I think I've asked that question a couple of times. We've had a 40 to 60% blow to tech stocks, okay? Really, different stocks have been crushed and some have not. But you still had even big tech, you know, 35, 40% hit. So is it time to start looking at some of those maybe? Well, if they come in with a good valuation, in other words, you have to change your thinking. It's not the valuations of 10, you know, of the last big, huge growth market spurt. Valuations, for instance, if you know, if you're looking at a big blue, big tech stock and the PE ratio going forward is 12, then you might want to consider that if it's still growing nicely. Okay, even though it's a growth stock. So it depends if you got proper valuations. Try not to overpay. I know the definition, well, what's overpay is difficult, but try to think in terms of normal PE ratios. Now, remember, the S&P 500, normal PE ratio long-term is about 15. Growth stocks usually get a higher than 15 PE. Okay, how about 18 for a growth stock? But not 100. You see, that's the difference. It wasn't that long ago, 100 PE for a growth stock was, oh, okay, so still going up. Well, I think you got to switch your thinking here. That's all I'm asking. Now change your thinking. Move more to a value set of rules instead of growth set of rules, value set of rules. And if you get growth stocks to fit these rules to some degree, then okay, you can consider them. I don't have a problem with that. Okay? And has the Wall Street, have they priced in a recession? You know, we don't know if we're going in a recession for sure. I think we are, but we don't know for sure. But has Wall Street priced that in? Don't get carried away with today's market thinking, okay, we probably hit a bottom. I don't think so. Just keep your powder dry a little bit longer. Okay? I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening. and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about the free podcast downloads. You can get your downloads anytime at iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Please be sure to review and rate us at iTunes. If you get that's where you get it, that would help us. We like that exposure. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night, everybody.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.